You can open your Bible to Ephesians. Only God could come and say, after a year of the revelation knowledge that's been delivered to the family of the prayer center, only He could come and say to Gary, when Gary asked him the question, "Would you like me to start wrapping this up before the first of the year?" And the Lord said to him, "You're only still in the introduction." Now we smile about that, and I smile about that, but that is truth. That is really truth. So the depth that He has us in Ephesians with, now it's went to other books, etc. But I can remember Gary saying, and I believe it's under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, when he said, "We're not going to leave this book. We're not going to leave this book until we're walking in it." And when we look at each one of ourselves inside, we're wondering whether we're ever going to walk in this book. But evidently, from God's perspective, He sees that we are, because He has a revival to bring. And it's bigger than a revival. It's establishing a kingdom. We're going to go back and begin to talk about truth again. I don't know if you cry out for truth. I don't know if part of your confessions or part of your professions or part of your meditation that you come to a point, and probably more than once, that you are so hungry for truth that it creates a cry on the inside of you, or it creates a longing, or it creates such a desire that you almost say, and you may have said, "Father, if I don't have truth, if I don't have truth, I don't want to live. I don't want to live. I must have truth. I must have truth." And somehow the Holy Spirit's able to take each one of us to that level that we allow Him to take. And He never leaves us there. He always brings truth at the level that we're asking for. Because He's created that desire in your heart. And He's the one, and incidentally, the only one that can fulfill that desire. There ain't no man. There ain't no woman. There's no book that can fulfill that desire within your heart for truth. He is truth. If you're keeping notes, I'm going to go back again to John chapter 1. Keep your finger in Ephesians. We will be there, I believe. Okay. And I'm going to read several scriptures. You probably know them all by heart. But those that are listening around the world, they do not know it by heart. We are no longer an isolated prayer center in the middle of a cow pasture. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong whatsoever. But we are no longer there and have not been for some time. I believe it was Mary that reminded me when we were going through a project this week that the prayer center had its own 9/11. And that 9/11 was 9/11 of 2005. And it was a Sunday morning, And I happened to be sitting over there with Leah, and we were listening to someone, either Dave or Gary or whoever. And the Lord asked me, get up and go upstairs. He does that, quite frequently. And as I was walking out, the Lord said, from this day forward, from this day forward, every message that comes forth from the prayer center is to be delivered to the world and not just to the prayer center. So from that day forward, we instituted new standards, new policies. As he said, I want this available, I want this, I want this, I want that. It does not mean that everything prior to that day he didn't want. He was only bringing us in line with where he wanted us to go and the value and the importance of what was transpiring here. He wanted our eyes off of the empty seats. He wanted our eyes off of the day-to-day things that take place. And he wanted us to begin to see with his eyes the field that's white unto harvest. I really didn't know I was going here. The prayer center to me is a treasure chest. The prayer center to me is a chest, and I have no idea how big it is, but it's about this tall, and it probably could run from that corner over to here, and it's full of gold. Incidentally, there's no brass in it. There's no brass in the treasure. There's only precious gems and gold. And you can reach in to that treasure chest and find all that you need for your prosperity, for body, soul, and spirit. It's so deep that you can never come to the end of it. And the amazing thing is, it is replenished as quick as you draw out to where there's never anything less than what's already there. And that is the teachings. And that is a revelation knowledge. And that is his present day speaking that has been put in that treasure chest. The problem we have is that treasure chest is not available to the world yet. It's available to you. There's no lock on it. Didn't cost you anything to get it. It's there. It's as free as the air that you breathe. And as we walk into this new season, that treasure chest, though it will never empty, is going to be open to the whole world. And every one of you that are sitting here, every one of you, is going to be a steward of that treasure chest within your own gifting, within your own calling. And some of you I can hear saying, me? Me? Others of you are saying, it's about time. Yes, it's me. He will bring a level of promotion and demotion in the area of humility and preferring each other before themselves, because he is truly fitly joining together this body like never before. Ask yourself, have you ever had friends in your whole life like you have friends now? We are rich. We are rich with a richness that cannot be bought with gold. It can only be bought, and it was only paid for by love. I like you. The word excitement does not even register in my heart, because there is an anticipation. There is a level of knowing but not knowing, a level of longing, and knowing that longing is going to be fulfilled, that is far beyond excitement. It has a substance to it. As I look into your eyes, and it's difficult for me to look into anybody's eyes, I have to keep moving back and forth. I'd like to maybe put a bag over my head, because every one of you represents a treasure that the Lord is going to completely use. And the longings that we've been waiting for, the desires that we've had, they're all going to be fulfilled. And that's truth. Okay. In John chapter 1, I'm just going to read 4 or 5 verses. Let me say it this way. In the New Testament, there are 2 words for truth. One is truth is truth. The definition of that truth is truth. There is no other definition for it other than truth. The second word is truth, but it's spoken truth. It is doctrine, or it is profession, or it is your confessions. It comes out of truth, and when you speak it, they used a different word for it in the Greek. All of the verses that I'm going to first refer to is truth. There is no truth spoken outside of this truth. And every truth that is spoken is spoken out of this truth. That makes sense? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Sanctify them, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In each one of those verses, you could put Jesus, his name, his character, his deity in place of truth, because he was truth, he is truth, and he always will be truth. And there is no truth, no matter what we believe and what we hear, there is no truth outside of Jesus. Absolutely none. Every thought that I think, every thought that you think, that is outside of Jesus, is a lie, is an absolute, complete lie, because there is no truth outside of Him. So in Ephesians, The first time the second word is used is when Paul used it in Galatians 4:16 that says the following: Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have I become your enemy because I tell you Jesus? Have I become your enemy because I am taking from truth and speaking truth to you from truth, which is Jesus? Let's go to Ephesians 4. Hopefully you have the marker there. The first time that it's used in Ephesians is Ephesians 4:15, when it says, but speaking the truth, Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Okay. To grow up, the only way to grow up is to speak the truth. The only way that each one of you are going to fulfill everything that God's called you to be and do is if you begin to speak the truth. As long as you speak not the truth, okay, there is no growth in your life. As long as you believe a lie, there is no belief in the truth. Real simple, isn't it? I mean, really pretty clear. Now let's go to Ephesians 4:17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation behavior the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitfulness of the lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That verse, Ephesians 4:23, is the bridge that we all walk across from being a Gentile and having that mindset into being a son of God and having that mindset by the renewing of your mind. Romans says it. Okay, here he has said it. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I'm not sure what spirit he's saying. Gary may be able to tell us. Dave may be able to tell us. We know that spirit doesn't have a capital S. So I'm not sure whether he's talking about my spirit that's born again, or he's talking about the Holy Spirit. But I will tell you this, that he's talking about both of them merged together. From that vantage point, Ephesians 4:25. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. I don't know how your parents handled you or disciplined you or trained you when you were at the age of, really before the age of accountability, when the flesh nature had no stipulations and it completely had no guards and you lied. How many of you have ever had your mouth washed out with soap? Put your hands up really high. You could probably be arrested today if, as a parent, you washed your mouth out with soap. How many of you had privileges taken away from you? How many of you got a spanking? The word spanking, let me see. I remember when I got my mouth washed out with soap. And that was a long, long time ago. But it was a discipline necessary to bring my flesh in line. And whether that event, it probably happened more than once, because I'm a slow learner when it comes to that. But I do remember it. I can almost taste the taste of the soap that was used. And it didn't happen to be Dove, or it didn't happen to be one of these that's got a lot of perfume. But that is not the lying that he's talking about in this verse. It is a level of truth that you're not to lie. But you can never know Jesus, and you could walk through this entire life, and you could discipline your flesh to where you made a standard in your life that I will not lie, I will not lie. And you would probably live in the flesh a stronger life than many Christians live, because of the resolve and because of the spankings and because of the washing out of your mouth or whatever else. You could live and not lie. But let's look at this a little closer. To me, this area of Scripture is key for 2010. The Lord already told me I wouldn't finish this morning, so don't be in a hurry, and that there will be more. And that from, well, let me say it this way. Verse 24 says, put on the new man. We've been very completely taught, don't ever take something out of context. So he's telling each one of you to put on the new man. And from here on, he's going to give you instructions on how to put on the new man. If you are not able to put on a new man because you don't know the Lord, he's not talking to you. Understand? He's talking to you because you have a new man. Part of the born-again trail, you are a new person, and he's talking to you. Yes, you're not supposed to lie if you don't know Jesus, but he's saying, I'm going to get you ready to put on the armor in chapter 5 and 6, etc. But right now, I'm going to begin to give you instructions, and there's three of them at the base. I'm going to give you instructions on how to put on your new man. And if you don't listen to me, Paul's saying, you're not going to be able to put on the new man because I'm giving instructions. I'm giving you orders. I'm giving you direction. And I'm saying, The very first thing you do is you put away lying and you speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Do you notice that the verse does not say speaking truth to your enemies? Do you notice that he's narrowed it down and made it a narrow path and said, I want you to know that all of your communion with your neighbor is the truth that I'm talking about. And I only want you to speak that truth to your neighbor. And incidentally, he's a good friend. That's what a neighbor is, right? But he's also saying, for we are members one of another. That's you. And that's me. We are members of a body first and of a family first, whichever you prefer to say it. We are members one of another, and all that I am to speak with you is truth. And I'm to remove all lies out of my conversation with you that is not truth. To do that, to take that first step into putting on the new man, each one of us have to stop lying to ourselves. You cannot speak truth to your neighbor if it is not truth to you, and if it is not within you. And that is the truth that he's expecting each one of us to speak. So my question to you, if we were one-on-one, is what truth has he spoken to you personally, that you have not spoken to your neighbor? Because as long as you don't speak it, you're unable to put on the new man. And as long as you believe the opposite of that truth, you are really undressed, or you have chose to remain, as the word calls, a Gentile. And you have remained to remove yourself out of renewing the spirit of your mind, and you've chose to not have the spirit of your mind rule your life. So I brought this mic up, and I was going to use it, and I was going to go to you and say, tell me the last truth that the Lord said about you that I don't know and you don't believe. Because if you really believed it, you'd be talking about it. I think right now of food, and I know that Gary Carpenter likes coconut cream pie. And I know that Dave Roberson says, and he's always right, that there's no ice cream besides strawberry ice cream. There's no such thing as ice cream outside of his mind that's not strawberry. Okay. What I want to know is the truth that the Lord has said about them, that I can walk in their truth with them so that we can become fitly joined together, compacted, and to grow up into the full stature of the Lord Himself without me knowing the truth about you. There are going to be gaps to where the enemy can come in. And we must begin to walk in that type of truth. For you to begin to no longer lie to yourself, the very first step is everything that's already been taught and is being taught about confession, about renewing your mind. We know how to do it, or we have heard the truth as to how to walk and accomplish it, but it is doing it. It's becoming obedient in doing it. And it's going to take your neighbor, whether that's your spouse or whether that's a best friend, it's going to take you begin to open your mouth and only speak the truth about who you are and no longer talk in regards to possibly who you were or all the lies that the enemy is still bringing. I'm going to read a prophecy. Let me say one more thing. How many of you have received a rhema word or word of knowledge or word of wisdom and you can remember it right now? Let me put your hand. It's about you. Something the Lord has said about you. If you've read Ephesians as many times as the Lord's asked us to read Ephesians, you could say, okay, it's chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, and chapter 4. That's everything He said about me, and we all could raise our hands. We know and have been told, and it's alive in us, that we were created in God's image. Anybody doubt that? We've heard it forever, forever. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, you might want to write that one down. It says this, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And let me ask you a question. We were created in His image. So He is asking us, or created us, to where out of the abundance of our heart we speak. That true? If you ever have an opportunity to take Dave for a cup of coffee or see him in the hallway or wherever, if he doesn't have his yellow pad in his hand, he has his yellow pad in his brain. And you could talk to him about six things, maybe more, and real quick answers, whatever. And when you give him an opportunity to speak, he immediately goes to the yellow pad. Gary Carpenter's the same way. I could name others, but because Dave's broadcast his yellow pad and we go, oh no, the yellow pad. He eats, sleeps, and drinks truth, revelation, knowledge, etc. So out of the abundance of his heart, Dave speaks. Out of the abundance of my heart, I speak. You don't want to be around me a lot. The path is getting narrower and narrower and narrower. You really don't. Unless you want to get on the path with me and listen to my path, you really don't want to be around me. I leave the table. I go home early, etc., etc. Incidentally, I don't plan on changing, so don't try to change me. I have a single goal. I had no idea it was this narrow. I really had no idea it was this long. But I do know that he's on that trail with me. And that's all I need, and that's all I want. So out of the abundance of the heart, I speak. You take the last word that you received, whether it was reading your daily devotions, or whether it was spoken into your life, do you realize that out of the abundance of God's heart, he spoke that to you? He had nothing else on his mind. Nothing else. He wanted to be sure that you know that out of the abundance of his heart, he had something to say to you. I'm talking about God. I'm not talking about a friend. I'm talking about God. I'm talking about your father. I'm talking about your elder brother. I'm talking about your teacher. He took the time to look inside of his heart and look at you and say, Mark, I got something to say to you. And here it is. And yes, I had to possibly use someone else, but I'm going to communicate to you spirit to spirit my heart's desire. And incidentally, Mark, it's full of abundance. It's running over how I feel about you. And so here, this is what I want to say to you. Now, there's a whole bunch of other things I want to say to you. But I've also looked at your heart and know what you could receive. So it became the abundance of my heart, and I'm going to speak it to you so you and I both know that we're in agreement. That is truth. And that is the truth that he wants us to be sharing with our neighbors, because we're one of with another. Instead of asking you if you do that, please don't ask me if I do it. I'm attempting. I am pressing towards the mark. I am more eager than ever to know the truth that he has said about me. And beyond that, I no longer am going to lie to myself as to who I am. And once I know who I am, you're going to know who I am. But I have to first find out who I am before you'll ever know who I am. Because I got to believe that it's truth. I'm going to read the most recent present day speaking that the Lord has brought forth to the prayer center. And with this we'll close, I think. It really is a time of explosion. Many are right at the brink of understanding what have been mysteries to the soul. You're part of the many, right? Many, many are right at the brink, just about ready to step in. Right at the brink. As the forward progress continues, understandings that are at this time glimpses of light will explode in the understanding, and forward we will go into an outpouring like this world has never known. You want to camp there a while? You want to have a cup of coffee over that? You want to talk about that truth? How long could we talk about it? Like the world has never seen. I mean, never, ever, ever seen. Never, ever seen. Aren't you glad that God said that? Because you can't call him a liar. If I said it, you're just him. But God said it. And he said, it's explosion. And he said, it's going to be something that the world has never seen. Put that in your hope bottle. Put that in your faith. Put that in the spirit of your mind. That's only the first paragraph, incidentally. The identity crisis, which has been unparalleled, is at a crossroads. And this time, the right path into all the fullness in me will be chosen. He's already seen it. He's not giving us an option to think it may not happen. He said it's already been chosen, that we've already chose the right path. And this time, we're not going to miss it. For the pureness of my ways has been taught. For the pureness of my ways have been taught by my spirit, and the understanding of this life in me is becoming sure, pure, and strong in the manner I have desired for many generations. Say to yourself, I am fulfilling the Lord's desires. Can you imagine that? I am fulfilling, his desires that he's had for many generations. Many generations means we are fulfilling his longings. He has hope. Not only has hope, he sees it. Have you heard the enemy tell you that any time this week? With the thoughts that we've all thought about weariness, about not being able to make it, etc., etc., etc. Those hungry for the soundness of unshakable truth are leaving the structures of religion and a shaking of the man-made is beginning to take place in a much greater measure. Amen. All you have to do is read the news, etc. Listen, here's an instructions. Here's something to put inside your hope. Here's something to put inside the new man within you. Expect to see the hungry come. And expect some to come back who were shaken off the foundation of soundness that my hands have built. Begin to expect these changes to take place in the midst of other changes I am bringing. Anybody here this morning, first time you've been to the prayer center at 8:30 in the morning? Anybody new? He's talking about you. Understand? I'm not going to point you out. I'm going to embarrass you. Bottom line of it is, you're evidently here because you're hungry, because he said you were coming. He's already prepared what he wants you to eat, because he knows you're coming. When you come to my house, you do not fast. I don't invite you if we're fasting. Incidentally, when Jesus invites you, you're never fasting either. Never, ever. He attended more feasts and more suppers and delivered more of the truth in his ministry 3.5 years. He spent time fellowshipping. They're coming. They're coming. What are your responsibilities when they come? Are we going to treat them as guests? I won't go there today. Anyway, the word is going to begin to increase. That truth is over here and people will come. He didn't say miracles were over here. He said truth. Though miracles are going to be here, because he goes on. But he said the hungry that are hungry for truth are going to begin to come. The word is going to begin to increase. That truth is over here and people will come. Many that come will be hand led by my spirit, and great will be the peace that will accompany them to this place. Healing will be in this place. I have spoken of an emerging from hiddenness probably for the last 3 years, maybe four. I haven't went back and looked. That the time of hiddenness was over and the time of manifestation was upon us. Expect the manifestation of this, for the time has come according to the place on this path into me that you have come to. I am going to send stewards to sit in the midst of you. I won't have time to go through how few times the Lord has used the word steward to us. The very first time he used it, said this: so when you come together, draw off of each other's strength and let me strengthen you and minister you one to another in my love as good stewards, saith the Lord. He spoke that in 2005. I am going to send stewards to sit in the midst of you. Some will be known and some will be unknown. But I know each one. And they come, treat each one as you treat any other son. Allow them to take their place in the structure of family I am building. Didn't say church. In the family, allow them to come into the structure, into the family I'm building. Allow them to come. Turn none away that I send. Some will be very polished by the hands of my spirit and will know the refiner's fire. Others will come whose life is quite ragged around the edges, but their hearts have been proven to be mine. I am gathering sons to come. Things are shifting. Things are changing within lives. Be ready. What is to come? See you in a half an hour.